Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address. You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Hello and welcome to the China Shop. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. Get inside this shop. You know what we got in here? Got in here, everybody? Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. He's right there in the corner. Kyle, get out from the corner. Come out of the shadows. Say hello to everybody. How's your week going, buddy?
Hi.
So shy.
Oh, no, sorry. I spent the afternoon trying to paint my new office and forgot that we were recording today. Now I got the doors closed. It's getting a little spinny in here.
Whew. I'll know what happens if I'm just find myself talking to myself after like 10 minutes when I pause, take a breath.
If that happens, call my wife.
I'll do it on air on speakerphone.
Yeah.
That way we get a recording of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, come on in the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, kick up your feet, hedge against the rage machine. We'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way through a complete set of fine china, sharing our strategies for stock trading, you know, maximizing gains, cutting losses, all that fun jazz. But if you don't know, because you're new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our knowledge and resource centers right there on financialineptitude.com. Or you can actually also give one of our many beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description, but the best place to be is over on our Discord server. We get on there every day with a bunch of really awesome, amazing people. It's a fantastic fucking place to be. And Kyle, you know what? You know what, Kyle?
What? It's
totally free.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Get shut for the a front limited door. Time only. For the next 10 years. 5 years, 1 year, I don't know. Next question mark years, it's free. Free of charge.
Yeah.
In fact, act now while supplies last. Join that Discord server. Send Kyle your private info. We'll ship you some smash it yourself swag or tear it up, burn it yourself swag, destroy it yourself swag straight from the shop.
Whatever happens after you get the swag is up to you.
That's on you.
Yeah.
That's between you and your deity of choice. Yeah. It's just a lot of fun here. Always better with friends like you.
Aw.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. You're talking to the audience.
I mean, I was talking to everybody. Kyle, when I talk, in my head, you're part of the audience.
I don't like how long it took you to respond to that.
I'm just
long silence.
That's just marijuana talking there. The wheels are going. They're just going slow.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Kyle. Changing the subject here. We got any show news to report?
Yeah. Bruce Scott, author of the 14 Steps to Financial Freedom. That interview will be out on Monday.
Ooh.
Guy's from Jamaica. Grew up in some really interesting circumstances. Got an interesting way of speaking too.
a good accent?
Good. And he kind of throws on a preacher vibe.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
Which all is, right. Which it makes his points very entertaining.
Oh, fantastic.
After that, Phil Muscatello managed to stop by, came back to shoot the shit, chew the fat, flap his gums, you know, riff, whatever.
Phil's a cool guy.
Yeah, yeah, Phil's a lot of fun. We actually spent way too much time talking about linguistics, history, Miss America's, Twitter status. We did get to some market stuff, but it was about halfway into it, I think.
I heard the modern linguistics is about how language formed for hunting, like what direction, like
that makes sense.
Under the bush, it went through the thicket. And think about how we use that in trading when we're using language talking back and forth, like we're hunting group of traders. Get on the Discord chat while you're trading futures. That's where we're at.
See, now I feel more like it's for like warning of hunters. Ah, look out. Don't do that.
There's a tiger inside that cave. Do not go in.
There's a tiger inside me.
Got tiger blood. Anyhow, all right. That's some good show news.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, continuing, ladies and gentlemen, we have a robust, roguish, a rowdy show for you today. Lots of market-moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and brighter futures than Elizabeth Holmes' Memorial Day bake sale.
Or brighter futures than her children.
Than Elizabeth Holmes' children.
Oh, that's sad. I should, no, yours is better. mine's depressing.
Your mommy's in prison because she was an awful person.
Which is why you're here. You are sympathy.
Yeah. it's right. Oh, God. Yeah. Well,
do you think that, what's the name of her kid? It's not Sympathy, is it?
Sympathy Holmes.
That would be. I would flip the script and become a huge fan of her if she'd done that.
No shame.
All right. Well, that's awesome.
There's nothing more American than zero shame.
I know, right? Hey, it worked for Musk.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Reach out to us, folks. We love your messages, your comments over on Twitter and Facebook, especially on the Discord. We got those links in the episode description. Or maybe you're old school and you want to just shoot us an email. You can find us at twobulls@financialineptitude.com. That's the number 2, B-U-L-L-S, @financialineptitude.com. Reach out to us. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made, or maybe you're just trying to help your friend pick his fiance up from the airport. Next thing you know, you're caught up in some Asian street gang kidnapping shenanigans, and you got no choice but to follow some crazy old man into the sewers.
God, that's such a great movie. Oh, I freaking love Big Trouble Little China.
It is, and I knew you'd get it in a heartbeat, but I really wanted to do it anyway.
Of course.
I should have done it from Lo Pan's point of view.
I was actually wondering why you didn't. That was what was throwing me off.
Yeah, well, because, you know, I didn't think of it until now. Yeah.
Oh. Too bad we do these live and you can't redo it. No, we have a strict one-take policy around here.
That's right. No, it's sad. We're laughing, but it's true.
It's very true.
It's very true. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that means it's time to talk about the stupid bet result.
Actually, yeah, it is time. What did we short? Oh, we shorted TSM. And it was looking great, too. Monday, it opened at 92.07. It was dropping. It was on its way to our first take profit at 87.5.
Yeah.
And then NVIDIA reported earnings and made semiconductors go through the fucking roof. It stopped us out at 96 on Thursday. Which we didn't even get 96 because it opened at 97.06 and never went down again.
Yeah, it gapped up.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the rule is that it's market hours, right? No after-hours trading?
Correct.
Okay, so yeah, our new total is now at $503.60. So we're still above break-even.
I'm pretty sure we said short TSM unless a crazy market event causes the entire sector to go up like a rocket, right?
to go up like Richard Branson.
Hey, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, that's kind of shit happens sometimes, right? That's why you got your stops.
Yeah.
At least we weren't short in NVIDIA, like I've seen all over Twitter.
Right. I was going to say, didn't you post something like that? Wasn't that posted in the Discord? Somebody.
Oh, no, that was Eric. And I was talking to him last week. He said the only reason why he didn't get his short on NVIDIA is because he was doing a podcast and the market closed before he can get the trade on.
Saved.
Yeah.
Damn. All right.
Oh, yeah. Random. Random. What with BlackRock? Opened the week at 153.82, closed on Friday at 149.59. So Random is sitting at 477.62.
Eat a bag of dicks, Random.
Still within striking distance, though, Dan. Still within striking distance.
I know. I'm still allowed to taunt Random. My thank you letter's already been written and delivered.
I feel like if we win this month, we should be getting thank you letters from Random.
Well, I definitely think we'll have ChatGPT write us both a letter.
A letter of congratulatory thanks.
Yeah.
No, make it better. More groveling, yeah, please.
Yeah, more obsequious.
And this is how the war against AI starts.
Yeah, right. No, it's fun because you can say things like, no, try it again, but make it more like I'm an emperor and you're a lowly slave. And it'll do it.
Yeah, try it again, but do it better.
But do it better.
Oh, all right. Shit. All right. Should we move on before we spend all this time jibber-jabbering, getting high on paint fumes?
Shut your jibber-jabber. Yeah, let's talk about some news. Dow drops deep on moving inflation, COVID frustration, war damnation. We're just bringing you the fucking news. You gotta recognize the game if you don't want to lose. We're just two fools trading information.
Yeah, we are.
Rioters raiding, insider trading, taxes are raising, bills on the hill. We got a crypto mill. No, they ain't growing weed. When the Fed speaks today, it's some shit we don't need.
Sing it, man.
Two fools trading information.
What?
Two fools trading information.
I'm inclined to agree.
Two fools trading information.
Accurate. Very accurate. What information? True. What? Whew. Oh, man. Started to nod off there for a second.
Are you okay? Do we?
Yeah. No, we're good. We're good.
Do we take a breathing break?
Oh, that made it worse. All right. What stories you got today? I think you got the big ones.
Oh, well. As of the time of this recording, the Congress has gone home for the Memorial Day weekend, and they are on a 24-hour recall notice in case we get a deal on the debt ceiling.
Okay, it sounded like they're getting close, though, didn't it?
Yes, they're deciding, like, okay, let's try to just do the bare bones basic what we can agree on package.
That's a good idea. At least start from somewhere where you can agree on something. So what was on that list?
They're $70 billion apart right now.
I'll bet you what was on that list was that they were not working Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Something tells me they're still getting paid for it, Kyle.
Oh, yes, of course they are.
Up to discretionary spending and military spending. They still need to hammer out the details of, like, housing, education is what some sources are saying.
Some work requirements the Republicans want that they're not really budging on. I think I also saw, too, that the Senate is pledged to give their members 72 hours to read it whenever something is proposed. So that's kind of putting this thing kind of close to the deadline.
Yeah. Well, as we know, you have up until the absolute minute you run out of money, right?
Right. Well, there is some good news on that. I just, when I was looking to see if there was a deal reached while you were speaking, Janet Yellen has caved to the pressure from that mad economist who was claiming that the date was not right.
Oh.
Turns out he was correct. Janet Yellen said on Friday she updated the timeline. It's now June 5th based on the most recent available data.
Okay.
Woo. Yeah, so got a whole extra 96 hours.
You technically correct. The best kind of correct.
Technically correct. Right?
God damn.
There was something else I was seeing about the clearinghouse getting kind of skittish, or people getting skittish around how clearinghouses are going to handle treasury bills and bonds, because those are typically used as collateral. And as we get near this deadline for defaulting on our debt, then the question is going to be whether or not these clearinghouses will continue to accept those things as collateral.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean the really close to expiration ones, they don't accept those. So the ones that would be affected are the ones that are like 2-3 weeks out, whether or not they're going to continue to accept them or not.
Mm.
I think people are watching for that right now. That seems to have at least Republicans and the president, or no, doesn't. Never mind. Four industry sources, whoever the fuck they are, they're the ones who are upset.
Industry sources are upset.
Not upset. I guess they're just wondering whether or not it's going to happen or not.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
Might be the paint fumes, but I feel like I just kind of talked myself in a circle there.
Yeah, I'd like you to take a few more deep breaths and explain it to me further.
Okay. Well, the clearinghouses, they generally do not accept T-bills due to mature within days as collateral, which the instruments that would immediately be affected by a June 1st default. But the question mark is whether they'll continue to accept bills expiring in the coming weeks.
Yeah. This is a really interesting facet of the debt ceiling that I hadn't thought of before. And that is, like, we have treasury notes. The government backs bonds, right, with the full force of the United States government. Well, if we default on debt, and banks won't let people use government bonds as collateral, that's a huge, huge deal.
Well, the CEO of the CME, Terry Duffy, Duffman, downplayed the potential impact of the U.S. default. He told Bloomberg that it would only worry about bills that expire August through October. It's a very small portion of the margin we're holding, he'd said.
Duffman says only 2 months are going to get fucked.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but if you held those bonds, wouldn't you be fucking pissed?
A little bit. But they're the ones holding it because that's the collateral they're holding, I guess, is what he was talking about. He's talking about a $250 billion portfolio that they're holding as collateral.
Oh, wow. Well, does that mean some assets are going to get seized when the collateral's worthless?
I guess we'll see.
We'll see if Twitter disappears.
Right.
No. He didn't use bonds.
No. More than likely not, no. Anyway, what else you got for market news?
Well, interesting news came out on Friday. Some economic data.
No.
Yeah. That showed
on a Friday.
It showed a pickup in consumer spending right alongside persistent inflation.
Yeah. Yeah. And the market's ripped. Just like the inflation.
And the market's ripped. I don't question it. We know, well, I mean, the commitments of trader reports, we're still seeing money coming in to the markets. It's big money. It was amazing to watch and trade the futures with the market ripping on this news, because it's basically they're saying, like, well, we got to tighten harder in response to this data.
Right.
Like,
The Fed rate or the target rate probabilities on the CME Group's interest rate watch tools gone from, in the last week, it went from 17.4% of a rate hike to 71.1%.
Yeah.
Where it's sitting right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this was not good news.
Right.
Oh, but it's strange because of how Fed news ultimately gets heard and what it actually means.
Well, this also, I think, goes to show you when everybody tries to short the markets, it doesn't tend to work.
It doesn't always work. Yeah, what was the cumulative delta red for the day? Yet we were green.
Yep.
It was okay.
I fell victim to it too, which we'll cover later in the show.
Yeah. Hey, I threw a short on my Apex. I went live with I'm in an eval account now.
Yep.
I tried it. I'm not above
it. Nice. No.
I'm above eating that loss in the face.
Right.
Anyway, the data just goes to show how challenging it is for the feds. They've been divided over whether to back off the rate hiking, but this hot data means they're probably going to rate some more hikes. There's still more time to come before they make up their mind. But, you know,
coming in hot.
I like saying it more and more as the year goes on because it makes me feel smart. We're always going to get bad news from the Fed. It's always going to be worse than you think all year.
Never say always, Dan. There'll come a point where they flip back to cooing like a dove and everyone will look forward to when they jump on the mic.
But that point is not this year.
Not for a bit, probably.
Yeah.
wait till election year.
Yep. Yeah. Markets hope we'd have a rate cut by year end. But yeah, we won't get rate cuts until 2024 when there's an election.
Never say never.
Never say never. All right. Well.
All right. Anything else for general news before we move on to some advertisements?
Ooh, no. What kind of advertisements we got today?
Oh, well, we got the new updated live read for Manscaped. I did a Father's Day one.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
All right.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
It's very, very creepy.
I'm assuming you don't trim your genital hair with your father as like a family activity?
No. But for those that do, I guess, you know, Manscaped is there for you.
Well, that's how I learned how to get the really cool shapes.
Oh, I'm getting very uncomfortable. Let's hear a song and move on, please.
My testicles are the dot on the question mark.
I'm moving on.
Stock time!
Now it's talk about stocks time. Looking for setups, it's still not advice. Big moves, fresh news, and earnings. All that we're saying, it's still not advice. Stock time.
Please don't sue us. Okay. All right. You want to start? Well, you got the stories that look. You stole my Virgin Galactic stories, what I'm trying to say.
So go ahead.
Go ahead.
You know what? I didn't.
Go ahead.
I forgot to read it.
Oh, what?
I did.
Well, I mean,
okay.
There's not really much to read, is there? Right, I mean, here, they went to space.
Let me wing this. You see what I did there? See what I did there?
Yeah.
Virgin Galactic, they pulled off their big crewed test flight.
This is the last one, right? Before they start commercial operations?
Yes. So
when is that supposed to start now? Because it should have been happening, I think, about 3 years ago,
they
according to the original timeline.
Right, because it wasn't like new technology. It was like, we're going to take this up with a piggyback plane.
Yeah, we're going to take a plane that we've had for years, and then we're going to take a rocket, which we already have too, and we're just going to stick them together and see what happens. Fill it with a bunch of billionaires who don't know any better, and, you know, go.
I don't see anywhere in this story when they're saying they're actually going to start commercial flights.
Well, if I remember, the last time they shut down, this is the first one since they did their complete maintenance overhaul of their carrier plane. So I guess this would be like the test flight to make sure that all the changes that they made are doing what they're supposed to do.
I see. Yeah,
the interesting thing to me, though, is remember how it used to go crazy whenever they have a successful flight?
Yeah.
Yeah, the market's done with that.
Yeah.
Successful flight, stock price goes down.
Yeah, right. Well, Bezos is also Blue Origin. They've had their successful test flights.
Yep,
it's going to become a thing, but I believe it's going to cost $200,000 for the cheapest ticket.
I thought that went up. Did they drop it again?
Well, the ticket price
is it a summer sale?
They've been
Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, Memorial Day weekend. they've been ranging from $200,000 to $450,000. The current price is $450,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's insane.
Yeah. Ah, I wish I was a millionaire. I'd probably pay it.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I think I'd probably pick a different rocket to go on. I probably want to go on Teslas or SpaceX's if I was going to pick one.
You'd be more confident. See, I would be more confident in the Virgin Galactic method.
Because it can at least float back down if it needs to.
we know planes, like we've been doing that a long time.
Yeah.
Elon Musk's rockets. Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather.
I just feel like you get a better experience for Elon Musk's because you actually go into space, whereas these other ones are like just flirting with the Kármán line. It's just the sky is dark. That's the only difference.
Technically in space,
but not even that's iffy.
It's debatable. They're
using the U.S. definition, not the International Space Association's.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like the
oh my god,
they're using 50 kilometers as the mark, and I think the international agency defines it as like 65 or 85 kilometers or something,
you know,
something higher.
You know, how corporate is that? Like, let's change the definition of space so we can take these tourists up really high and tell them they're in space.
Oh, they didn't set the definition, they just picked the one that was most convenient.
Why the? I would think there'd be a scientific definition for that of like when the atmosphere goes from like it's this concentrated to this.
It's kind of transitory, for lack of a better term.
Wow.
Yeah, couldn't help.
Okay,
it.
If you're just joining us on Two Bulls Do Physics, we're talking about atmosphere and what's that barrier between on Earth and in space? Where is it?
Yeah, I mean. Could be pretty far. Could be to the moon, for all I know.
The question is, Kyle, if you're over the ocean and then all of a sudden you're over Mount Everest, are you less in space? Or if you're over top Mount Everest, your distance between the peak of the land to where you're at, that changes.
Well, it actually would probably make sense to try to launch from somewhere like that, wouldn't it? Atmosphere is thinner, although you have to get all the shit up there.
Yeah, then we're talking space elevator. We are off the rails. Anyway, Virgin Galactic, space tourism.
Yeah. I'm probably
going
to cut a lot of that.
Yeah, cut a lot of that sci-fi nonsense down.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So, yeah, Virgin Galactic went to space and nobody cared.
Nobody cared. Did not affect their price. Well, what were you looking at today, Kyle?
I saw an update to Carl Icahn.
Oh, yeah?
Appears that now... do you know that Carl Icahn has a billionaire feud going on with Bill Ackman?
I think, wasn't it about the company being a MLM scheme?
Yeah, they compared them to Archegos.
Yeah. Icahn insulted the dude's company.
Yeah. You know, after the Hindenburg report and everything. But apparently the way this article refers to him is his arch enemy hedge fund manager. We're gonna love that.
Oh, it's great.
But yeah, apparently they've been feuding since like 2012.
Yeah,
they had conflicting market positions on Herbalife.
Yes, that's it. Herbalife. One of them was like it's a scam, yeah. And the other one's like it's a great company.
Oh yeah, so Ackman tried to expose that as a pyramid scheme. He lost $1 billion on it.
Okay, and Carl Icahn's like it was just a company.
Yeah. But now Carl Icahn's looking more like the pyramid scheme.
Yeah, right? Oh, so that dude, right? That dude's go. He's going nuts.
Oh, he. Let's see. The whole tweet came out on Wednesday. Let's see. He thinks the firm is still overvalued, caused them to drop another. I think they're down another 60%.
Oh wow.
Let's see. They highlighted a 75% inflation in the unit price of IEP. Aikman commented on it, stating that the key lessons learned is that the controlling shareholder with a small float and significant dividends can cause a company's stock to trade at a large premium to its intrinsic value. He indicated the best approximation of intrinsic value is the net asset value per share, NAV. So Icahn, along with his son Brett, own about 85% of the company, and the float amounts to about $57.32 million. We also mentioned the inflated NAV allows controlling shareholders to access margin loans secured by overvalued shares, which could be used for further investments. So because there's no float, he owns all of it. But if he was there to actually try to cash in any of that, he'd basically destroy his company.
Oh.
That's what he's saying. Yeah.
Wow.
And I think he makes a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this might be the end of Icahn.
That's insane. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm looking at the stock chart. I'm like, why did we stop shorting it?
Well, maybe we short it again.
I think this might, if this is the end, it's not too late to get on the short train. Let's see.
Well, there should be some sort of relief some point.
Let's see if there's a consolidation, just technical analysis wise, you might see a pullback, what, to 27.5 area.
Maybe.
I would love to have it fill that gap to 24.
Yeah.
It might not even get as high as 27. It might only get up to like 25. But yeah.
Keep in mind, it's a very low float. So this thing could probably rip pretty easily too.
Oh, yeah. You think it just, if people like.
Well, suppose Icahn manages to get a loan against his shares and then just goes and purchases everything everyone's selling. Pulls a Iceland.
Oh, and you know what? He's been in it long enough. He's probably got some friends that he can right. tap, you know? Like, hey, loan me $200 million so I can save my company.
right. Anyway, yeah, I thought you'd be interested to hear the update on his shtick.
Yeah.
What else you got for news?
It looks like a nice little deal has been announced between Ford Motor Company and Tesla. They're both up a significant amount on Friday. They're going to allow Ford vehicles to use the Tesla charging stations.
Really?
Yeah, they're trying to make Tesla superchargers the standard for EV charging.
Oh my, look at Ford's chart.
Yeah.
That is a massive descending triangle.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
That is very pretty. I'm trying to get my triangle on here. I want to see.
Hold on. Please hold while we do some live technical analysis.
I know, right?
it's pretty wild. If you zoom out, the top of the triangles, January 2022, we were talking about them when they were spiking up that high.
Right. Oh, damn. Well, you zoom out that far, it looks like a head and shoulders. Massive head and shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah, when Ford breaks under 11 again, look out.
Yep, but until then, it'll be on my watch list.
Really? Because I'm looking at this coiling and I'm like, this might be time to short this for the bet pick.
Right. I don't know. I don't like the way that buyers stepped in. Good volume. Too much news.
Okay. Let's see what it does. Yeah. This could be huge for Tesla. If their charging stations become the standard, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think so.
Also, you know, people, of course, Ford is rallying on it. It's going to be easier for Ford to move their electric vehicles if there's already charging stations everywhere. That's becomes part of their push, right?
Oh yeah, that's brilliant for them.
People are more likely to buy a Ford now because it's like, oh, I see those annoying Tesla chargers everywhere.
I know, right?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else with that one?
Just that you know, other car makers now have to make a choice. Right. And
get in line with Tesla or go out on their own.
And Ford and Tesla are going to be such a big market share. Right. Do you want to invest all that money it's going to take to fight this?
It seems to me that if you're going to be making charging stations, that should be like outlets in your house. Like that should be standardized. That should not be different by vehicle manufacturer. That's insane.
I actually wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
But
that's like a utility to me.
You would think, but
yeah.
I'm sure Congress is going to get right on that, Kyle.
Well, they saved AM radio, so you know they like cars.
They should They should have tacked it on to the AM Save AM radio bill. Could have got a lot done.
Yeah. And standardized. Yes, I know. Should have tacked everything on. But it should have put the budget on there too.
Right. Oh, you want to be the one to kill AM radio? Go ahead.
Right. The last one I was looking at is I've been eyeing Palantir this past week.
Yeah.
Because they had some really good earnings a couple weeks ago, and they've been kind of drifting upwards. But after NVIDIA's earnings announcement, they've taken on another life of their own.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like they're also getting in deep into AI. So they actually announced an AI event that's going to be taking place June 1st of 2023.
Huh.
At this event, the CEO, Alex Karp, is going to open the conference and discuss the company's AI plans, which include deeper insights into the newest release of Palantir AIP and AI in Foundry. And the company wants to focus on the rapid adoption of Palantir AIP. And then several other potential and current clients or customers of Palantir will also hold presentations, including Cisco, Cleveland Clinic, HCA Healthcare, Jacobs, JD Power, Panasonic Energy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So keep an eye on Palantir, man. That one's looking pretty strong.
PLTR. Yeah, they're really moving, huh? Look at that.
Right? A lot of volume, too. A lot of good green volume. That might be one to watch, too.
Yeah, they could.
For a bet pick.
Yeah, then they're at a pivotal resistance.
Resistance point.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Look at them go.
All right. Anything else for stock news?
I didn't have anything. No.
Me neither. Let's do some crypto. I got some crypto in my wallet. Yeah, I got some crypto in my wallet. Some Doji, Sushi, Polka Dot, NFT. Decentralized, anonymized, fabulous cryptocurrency. All right, Dan, what do you got for crypto?
Okay, I got a pretty juicy story. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has raised $115 million in a round of funding for a cryptocurrency project called WorldCoin.
Oh, that doesn't sound scammy.
Kyle, they want to distribute a crypto token to people, to quote, just for being a unique individual.
Oh, okay. You know, and then they're going to scan your irises.
Hold on. We'll get there. Right,
go ahead, sorry.
Now, they have to be able to prove that you're a unique individual somehow. Otherwise, how could they magnanimously distribute this crypto token?
Okay.
And to do so, they thought, just why not scan your eyeball so we get your eye print.
Oh yeah. Okay, why not?
Well, I mean, then you can prove it. That's a really nice way, you know. There's no other finger thing I could put my finger on that might be a unique thing.
How good is the technology to scan an iris? Like, can I just take a picture from the internet? And if I'm like, as long as I'm one of the first ones, and whoever that person is, I'll just be fucked.
Right? I have no idea. I only know it from like TV shows when it's a passcode to open a door.
Right.
And
yeah.
They're like, oh.
And then usually that means somebody's going to lose an eyeball.
Yeah. So an eyeball or at best knocked unconscious.
A head. Yeah.
At best case scenario, which in real life, right. Let me tell you, is a big deal. It's a very fucking big deal.
Yeah, it's super bad for you to be unconscious for that long.
If someone hits you in the head and you fall unconscious, you are in trouble.
Yeah, Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So even former U.S. intelligence contractor Edward Snowden, he responded. I believe his tweet was, "Don't catalog eyeballs."
It's awesome that an ex U.S. intelligence agent is out there saying that.
Living in Russia.
I know. Like, maybe we shouldn't do that, guys. That seems like a bad idea.
You shouldn't.
But how many tokens are you going to get for free?
I think it's just one.
What says tokens plural?
Oh, well, you know what?
I imagine this is going to be like the airdrop thing that we got with like Skydles, where it's going to depend on how many people sign up for it.
Right. Unfortunately, Kyle, the token will not be available to people in the United States, according to WorldCoin's website.
Aw. What? We're part of the world.
I know, right?
Yeah. What the hell?
I don't know. I think there might be a something about that... gathering Iris prints.
Yeah. Whenever you can't do business in the U.S., that should be a red flag of some sort.
Right. We're pretty business. Well, we used to be pretty business friendly.
Right.
Oh.
Well, that no. means they can't meet some sort of regulatory requirements.
And this guy, this is the same CEO, mind you, that just last week was before a U.S. Senate panel calling for more regulation of the technology he's currently developing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yep. And then I asked ChatGPT about it. He said nothing to worry about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He said it was fine. There's plenty of regulations.
Yeah, we're good.
So why did your boss say this? Well, some people are worried about such and such. That's
but we're good.
It really is a problem. Like, oh, is it now?
I look at it like we were talking about Ford earlier. Like this is to me, it's like Ford in the 50s being like, you know, you should really require seatbelts. Well, what's stopping you from putting them in?
So, oh yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. because they're publicly traded.
We're not gonna do it if it's not
spend money.
We can't just spend money. I guess I think that they just it's like a BDSM thing. They're like, oh no, you have to make me do it.
Ask firmer.
Yeah, right. No. Force me.
Make me. Please.
Right.
If you've been a bad Ford.
Been a bad ChatGPT. Bad little AI.
Oh god, okay. All right. Should we move on before we go?
Yeah. Yeah,
into the weeds
I think we just came out of. I think we should.
All right.
Oh god damn. Woo!
I think it was loud.
Woo!
Man. Sorry, I didn't even get out of the holster.
Ah shit. Oh,
that was close.
I was fucking take my eye out, man.
All right. Well, you're good.
You know, I couldn't decide between two things. And I asked Jamie Lynn and she's like, it doesn't matter. Just pick one.
Pick them both. It doesn't have to be just one good thing.
On Wednesday, I woke up, got out there. Took a trade, made 22.5 points after commissions, and was like, I don't even want to trade anymore. I'm done.
Yeah, you weren't even supposed to trade on Wednesdays.
Well,
threw my whole routine off when I saw you there.
I know. Well, what happened is I like going to work.
Right.
So on Wednesdays, I try to get it done early and then go back to bed before the wife wakes up.
Ah, smart.
No. So that was really good. I felt good about that. I felt great all day. Like, just... Mm-hmm. 1 out of 1. Hey, I did it. I went to work this morning. It took me about 40 minutes.
Right.
My other good was on Thursday, having a bad day, managed to take a step back and pull myself out of
that's huge.
The poor mindset and back into the master trader mindset of, wait, damn, what are you doing wrong? Why are you taking so many losses? This isn't normal. Take a deep breath, reassess, and then I was able to make a successful trade and cut my losses. I still lost for the day, but I cut them in half with a great trade. So that I felt really good about that.
I had a similar Thursday, I think, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if you, because you weren't around when I made that last trade. But
no, and I think we might probably have the same trade, though.
Is it like long at the 38, 39 area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I got a couple of them off of there. Yeah.
Yeah.
My good, I think, was not blowing up this week. Monday, was it this week with the Monday that I learned a valuable lesson about not putting an order on right before news?
Oh, for news. Yeah, news. That was Monday.
Yeah. I ended up taking such a shot in the face from that because, I mean, I think I got a...
Tuesday.
Lost something like 30 points on like just a second on the micros the minis were nowhere near trading anywhere near that.
Yeah, but you had the...
It was like 13 points below my stop and then it opened up a breakout trade that I had and...
Mm-hmm.
Then it bounced back up immediately to where it was trading, and I was short from down at the lows wherever the minis got filled or micros got filled. So
took a double loss.
Yeah, I had like a $300 hole that I had to climb out of the week just to start Monday.
Yeah, Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning, that's right. Yeah. So that was tough. The rest of the week didn't go a whole lot better. I think I had one good day this whole week, but the fact of the matter is my account's still flat. It's not even in drawdown yet, even after a week like that.
That's good, man.
And I think that's something that I'm patting myself on the back for, because even though I didn't have the best week, and we'll talk more about that in the bad and the ugly, the risk manager in me has kept me from going completely off the rails.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a sign of progress.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What was your bad?
That Tuesday morning, I felt like when there was news, right before news, when we saw the Dom get really thin.
Yep.
I had a trade on and I should have flattened it and I didn't.
Oh, you were the opposite direction. That's right.
I was short.
Yeah.
And
no, you were going long. I was short.
No. I got it in my trade journal.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yes. No, you're right. Yeah. Yes. Sorry.
I'm looking at it.
Yep, you're right.
I didn't realize there was news. When it thinned out, I should have flattened. I should have absolutely flattened. And later in the week, when there was, it happened, I think, two more times where the Dom thinned out before news events. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a trade and I didn't put one on.
Yeah, right.
Now, I had slippage the other way where the slippage filled my profit targets. So I just like blinked and I was like, what the hell?
I just got paid.
I just got paid. Yeah, thank you.
In fact, I think you probably were buying my contracts.
I was. I was, because I was live this week.
Yeah. Well, that's, you've got my, we got the same bad, it sounds like, then, because that was the exact one I wrote down.
Yeah. Hey, what about high five.
Bad buddies? Yeah. What about ugly? Do you have any uglies?
I did have an ugly, and my ugly was Thursday. Me, before I was able to take a step back and reset, the me falling apart. The sad thing is, and I was like, I think I was telling you that day or the next morning, like I had the range defined and I wasn't trading the range. I kept like finding reasons to get in the middle of the range instead of the extremes.
Yes.
And it was just ugly.
Exactly what you
mean. And I got chewed up and three bad trades. And twice I went short at the same level in my journal. The first time it says bad location. The second time it says bad level, bad results.
Right.
I don't know what the fuck I was thinking.
Yeah. I think my pain came because I had similar issues on Thursday, but, I think I eventually figured out what I was doing. I remember actually I was watching one of the fade lesson from Trade Pro's newest futures course. And I had that going, I had the chart up in the background and I was like, okay, well, you know what? Why don't we do what we should be doing? And let's wait for this level here. And then let's see if we can see some of these things that he's showing and demonstrating to pop up over there. And lo and behold, that's what happened. And I managed to grab a trade from that low all the way back to the top of the range.
Right. It's, but, and,
I mean that was the good thing I did to wrap up my Thursday, but the ugly had to be Friday, I think. Mm. My trading on Friday was emotional. I was clinging to a short bias.
Yeah.
I really wanted to short at some point to come back into the range, and I got completely blinded to the idea that this could be a trend day and we're just going to keep going up.
Yeah, up, up, up.
Yeah, and you guys were even trying to talk me out of it, and I couldn't let go of it.
Yeah.
And that's not good. And I got to go back, I think, to defining how I'm going to call it a trend, like something to recognize that, hey, this is not the trade. We're not doing reversion fades anymore now. This is go time.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I shorted. My first trade was a short on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I shorted to keep that Globex range. I was like, I'm going to short the top of the Globex range. I got fully run over. But mm-hmm. on my trade journal, I didn't write bad trade.
No, it's still a good.
It's not highlighted as one of my bad trades. Like, I highlight the ones that are bad trades,
right?
So I can quickly see them when I scroll through my journal, and like, but that one, I'm like, no, that's fine. Like, that's where I was supposed to short. I got rolled over, but my second trade was long on a pullback to that same area.
Right,
fucking
right.
Cleaned up.
Yep.
Cleaned up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I think after talking to you guys, kind of towards the end of the day when I was trying to figure out what was going on. I've come to the conclusion that this weekend is going to be about taking all that I've learned and actually updating my journal, mm-hmm. defining the setups that I'm trading and defining the criteria that I have. Because when I went back and was reviewing these again, there's one thing that was missing from all those trades, and it was the delta confirmation that I like, where I see a really large amount of delta in the opposite direction coming in at those tops. And I didn't get that mm-hmm. on any of these shorts that I tried to take. In fact, the one point where it did was the only fade that would have worked. And by that point, I was already out of money for the day.
Right. No, it's true. Because I remember you saying, like right before you got off the call, was right mm-hmm. as it was starting to make that big pullback. It was off of 205.
Yep.
4205. Yep. Yeah, I remember you saying that exact damn thing. You were like, damn it. Now that it's going to turn around, I'm out of powder because I kept shorting.
Yep. And this is the one. That was the actual one that I should have been waiting for. So
yeah.
Got a lot to work on this week, but yeah, it was ugly. But you know what? The account's still alive. I'm still alive. I've got some cheap lessons that really, I mean, it's not a waste if you don't learn from it, right? Or it's not a waste if you can learn from it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now what?
I think now we got to make a bet pick, sir.
We have to?
Well, I can make it for us. But we do have to.
Well, let's play the song then.
All right.
I need it, wanna beat it, gonna win it if I take it from you. I'm filling my positions, quit your bitching, random's gonna lose. Got a chart full of levels and a stop that's not too tight. It's bet picking time in the shop, so pick 'em right.
Well, what do you want to go for?
I want to. Okay, you're gonna veto this because I know you want to pick something safe and lock in the win, and that makes me want to be like the riskiest ever.
Why?
I don't know. I want to go long forward, and then when it gets to 12.75, I want to reverse it and go short. Maybe 13.
I mean, all right, why not?
Holy shit!
I mean, fuck it. Worst thing that happens is we have to do something stupid.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah, Kyle, stupid stuff every day. It's nothing new to me.
That's what makes shit fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if it falls Monday, where would it fall? It's not going to.
Okay. Let me tell you where I want to buy this.
And then,
let's see.
And then we'll, if we never get it up that high, flip short at 11.85.
Okay, sorry. Say that again. Long forward.
To about 12.75, 13. Somewhere in there, flip short.
I'll just say, let's split the difference, 12.90.
Okay. 1, 2, take profit 0. And flip.
Yeah. TP/flip short.
Yeah, 12.75. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first one, but then the next one.
And then on the other side, if we're short, the take profit is 11.60.
11.60. And then if we drop below 11.60 before we hit our take profit, then we're just going short.
Oh, if we drop below 11.85, then we flip short.
Okay. So you need a stop loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
11.85.
Nice and complex.
Short. And then you need a stop loss with a high end.
It would be
13.20.
Perfect.
All right. We miss any?
Nope. Looks good. What the fuck is random doing?
Oh, if you flip short at 11.85, then where's your next stop loss there then?
If I flip short at 11.85, then the stop loss is at 12.15.
Good Lord, this is going to... You're completely going to wreck us. But I love it. All right, you ready for random?
Yeah.
Random is going for New York Stock Exchange Consumer Services, SLG. Random's going for a REIT.
SL Green Realty Corporation. Hey, they are looking down.
Ooh, when's their dividends? The dividend X date is on Tuesday.
Monthly dividends.
They good. Pay 15%.
What?
Yeah. When's the dividend X date? I'll have to check that. Okay. No. Yeah.
Holy shit. Dividend 27 cents and it's trading at $22 a share? What the?
Well, if you can get it on Monday, which I think the markets are closed, but if the markets are open a little bit on Monday and he gets a position, he'll get that dividend.
That's new.
Oh, fuck you, random.
No.
Yeah. That's what? How it worked. Yep.
What?
He has to be holding shares by the 29th. End of day.
Okay, this is some horse shit. Random pulling this shit.
Well, luckily the markets should be closed on the 29th.
Okay, you're right. Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, that was close.
Okay. Woo.
But if it's one of those crazy half days that we get, like on Black Friday, then we might be screwed.
Random has a chance.
Yeah, random has a chance.
All right.
Plus, at least the stock price should drop by 15% on a dividend X date. So if he doesn't get it, then he might be really fucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. I'm crossing my fingers with this crazy Ford setup. I foisted on us.
Break.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the tail end of the episode. Sorry to say. Yeah. Life goes on. There are other things in the world to do, to hear, to see, to smell. Circle life. Circle of life, man.
A lot of paint to smell.
Fucking just breathe them paint fumes.
What? What happened? Hello?
Charlie, you been drinking paint again?
Oh, jeez.
Okay, Kyle, I think listeners should like, share, rate, subscribe.
Yeah, I think pretend you're the CEO of Ford and supercharge our 5-star rating.
Oh, boom! Ooh,
look at that, topical.
Callback. Well done. Well done. Yeah. Well, I can't top that. Happy trades, everybody.
Bye. Nice.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.